Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Fergie Time. My name's Keith Jackson and of course the man in the title, Barry Ferguson. We are here, Barry, to discuss some pretty eventful goings on in Scottish football, European football over the last week or so. A real neck and neck race for the title at the top of the SPFL Premiership as well. We've got Scotland to discuss. And I've got some major questions that I need to ask you about this. Because I'm very unhappy about the manner in which Scotland's players are disappearing out of that squad like snow off a dike. And I want to ask you, I need your sort of analysis on it as a former Scotland captain. We can talk about Lewis Ferguson, who has been linked in one of the newspapers today.
Yep, I've seen that.
With a move to Rangers. So a great deal to discuss, Barry. But of course, you know the first thing that I'm going to ask you. This time last week, we sat here. You were 6 days into becoming a vegetarian.
I thought you were going to talk about the great results in Europe.
I will get there. I'm really into it. I told you I was going to come back to this.
You can see I'm scratching, I'm itching, I'm agitated.
I can see that. I think you look tired.
Oh, your back end.
So
I'm struggling.
Need to tell me about it. Have you eaten meat? Haven't you?
Yes.
What did you have?
Tuna.
That was it?
Yep.
One tuna sandwich?
No, I had a bit of tuna pasta.
All right. When?
Friday.
Oh, so you've gone and back on the climb back on to the
I'm doing a bit of research and having a look.
Let me tell you, I'll be honest with you. Meat tastes good.
It does taste good. There's no doubt about it. But do you know what? I feel better.
It's flavoursome.
Listen, I feel better for what I was doing. Am I going to totally come off meat? No, I probably won't after this.
So you're cracking now after a fortnight?
No, no crank. Listen, I wanted to try it. I've read up on it. Heard people talk about it. Watched a documentary about it.
And the conclusion you've reached is?
I'm still on it.
You're a meat eater.
We'll see. This is a big test this weekend because I've got a couple of dinners I need to go to.
Well, if you make it beyond this into your third week, next time you're in here, you'll be coming in with dreadlocks.
It's always good to try new things, innit? Let's be honest.
Well, I'm glad that you've tried it. I applaud you, encourage you.
Yep.
You know that I've been here supporting you every step of the way.
Certainly have not.
And listen, I take no delight, I know I'm smiling, no delight in seeing that you've actually not been able to manage it.
Well, listen,
it's worth a try.
It was worth a try. Look, I was interested. Look, I read up on it, seen quite a lot of people had tried it and the benefits of it. So I was like, oh, right, do you know what, I'm going to give it a go.
I actually do think you look tired.
I'm just back for a funeral. Sad.
Okay.
So we'll visit it next week to see if
week three. Well, that'd involve getting past another Sunday. Bacon rolls or a doubler.
I know.
A Sunday morning. I don't think.
Listen, I'm starting to get hungry. Can we move on? Please.
Right. Let's talk about what has gone on since we last spoke. Wow. The Europa League action last week. Where do you let's start with the Rangers result against Porto. I've got to tell you, having watched the first leg in Portugal, I think Rangers could win this quite comfortably. It's a different Porto team that turned up at Ibrox.
I was never confident they would win it comfortable. As you said, Rangers were really good over in Porto. I thought Porto would have came and been a different team. And listen, that proved the case. It was a... I've seen Rangers play better, but do you know what? What a result. I don't care what MD says. Great pedigree. Really good players, Porto. And once Rangers got that goal, then they were in control, but it was a bit nip and tuck, if I'm being honest with you. You've got to ride your luck a wee bit, Jack, win these games. One cleared off the line in the first half. There was another one, it wasn't off the line in the second half, but it was in a dangerous area. Mm-hmm. But once Rangers scored, they took their chance, and what a goal it was.
It's ridiculous.
It was a great... I mean, if that's MD else for me, everybody's talking about it. Because mm-hmm. it's up here. It's Scottish football.
Well, they said the criticism of Morelos was that he couldn't do it in the big games.
Well, he's proved to me this season, not just that he can do it in the big games. He's the discipline side. He looks to me that he's just... there's been a total change in the guy. Total change. And do you know what? Everybody can give credit to either the manager or teammates, whoever, but you've got to give him credit. Because it came to a stage where I'm thinking, I don't know if he could change himself.
A total liability.
Aye, could he change himself? Really serious doubts about it, but he's changed that. But oh my God, can a guy score 22 goals this year?
But the argument, you know the argument in this neck of the woods, until he does it in an Old Firm match, it doesn't count.
Aye, but
that seems to be the accusation.
Yep, but he's got two games coming up very soon, and the form that he's in, he could do it easily. I do. I think he's got everything. Mm-hmm. No, I do. I like him.
He does look unplayable when he's... I mean, the physical side of it.
He loves the physical side of it.
He's off defenders.
I mean, look at that. For instance, right, we'll go in the finish against Porto. First touch, left foot, volley. One of the hardest things to do. Great goal. And then Sunday against Livingston, he takes the boy into the box, and it's just sheer brute strength, and he loves that. He loves that physical side. And that, the boy...
Why is that? Is that because he's got a low centre of gravity? He doesn't... You know, because the taller but if you watch him, bounce off him a bit.
See, if you watch him, he likes to get them in the positions.
Oh, he loves that.
He loves rolling them. Mm-hmm. It's just a side of the game that I think he's bang on it.
What and is that? Because Gordon Strachan always used to talk to me about core strength. He felt that it's got a lot of Scottish players didn't have great core strength. He seems to...
Listen,
he's a wee unit, isn't he?
No, he's got brute strength. That's what he has.
Doesn't look at either to look
no,
at.
No, he doesn't, but he knows how to use his body weight. He knows how to rile up who he's playing against. And I just think he's at the top of his game now. And that can only be great for Rangers. I loved his... Even his goal against Livingston, I know people are going to say, was he offside or was he onside? Look, you get the benefit of the doubt, but he still had a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. The finish.
Aye, and people say get through the legs. You need that. Mm. He's hit it early.
Are you concerned, from a Rangers perspective, that somebody is going to come in January and Rangers are going to find it, from a financial perspective, mm-hmm. impossible not to look at the numbers?
I'm not concerned. I know for a fact that somebody will come in for him.
You know for a fact?
No, for a fact, I know I'm 100% certain. Sorry, should I say that somebody will come in for him?
Thought you were getting exclusive there.
No, I'm certain somebody will come in. There's clubs will be watching him, no doubt. Will Rangers sell him? No, they can't sell him.
I mean, that having done
they couldn't sell him.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Having done everything that they've done, this board, to bring Rangers back into a place where they're competitive.
Yep.
And it's cost them a lot of money, and fair play to them, they've found the money.
You've got to give them credit. Yep, you've got to give them credit.
And you know that I have my doubts and reservations about Dave King, but I think you would have to say, although they are running at a loss, and I think that's dangerous, because you know they can't sustain that forever.
But you've got the people.
You give them the credit. They have put their hands mm-hmm. in their pockets to get this club in exactly this position where they might be able to challenge for a trophy.
You've got wealthy benefit.
If they were then sell Morelos, it would be the ultimate in mixed messages.
They'll not sell him unless somebody comes in with an absolute ridiculous amount of money that you could never reject. No, how? Look, what?
What are we talking about here? What's the going rate?
He's going to be worth 15 million upwards.
What if somebody comes in with 25?
They need to seriously consider it. I get
so
that.
So they would need to seriously consider it.
They would need to, but then they would need to be a plan B if they got somebody else there. But look, I don't think they can. I think he's so important to that Rangers team if they are going to... Listen, they're in the final with Betfred. They're neck and neck with Celtic. They're in a real good place and he's a real talisman up front. He's scoring goals, 22 goals. You mentioned it before. That was always labelled against him. Can he score at the highest level? He's doing that now. Mm. It'd be criminal to let him go. But money does talk, and I can understand if somebody comes in with the amount that you said. But I think at some stage he will leave Rangers, but I would like to think it would be summertime.
I think, and this is you could imagine if you're Dave King, you're sitting there and it's £11 million losses and somebody comes in with a ridiculous amount of money, the temptation would be enormous to take that money.
Yeah,
because it sorts of...
But if he continues this for him, he's going to be worth that money for years to come. Look at the age of him as well.
Mm-hmm.
I keep forgetting the age of him.
22.
22?
Mm-hmm. I know.
He's still young in striker terms.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, they keep him. They keep him at the end of the season. I'm not even...
I think it's very difficult to imagine him staying beyond the end of the season.
Yeah, look, it would be, but I think it would be criminal to let him go during the season. Exactly. And I think Gerrard's mentioned that. I think the board will know how crucial he is to that team.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes in, look, listen, I'm not let you go, but we may let you go in the summer.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, isn't it? That they've worked so hard to get him into this position.
Yep.
It would go against everything they've done thus far to then say, oh,
yeah, I can imagine what would happen, not just the manager, but the fans, the main people who go and watch the games. And I'm sure his teammates don't want him to go either.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he wants to go and play at the highest level. I've got no gripe against that, but do it at the end of the season, mate.
Now, in terms of where this has left that section, Rangers are in really, really strong position now.
I fancy it. I think they'll go through.
Yeah.
I know they play Feyenoord across there. I think they're good enough to go there and beat them. I wasn't really impressed. I know Dick's in the
transition final just now.
Yep. I think they can go over there and get a point, if not a win. And obviously Young Boys at home. So they've got enough in the locker to get through into the next rounds after.
But then Dick Advocaat has a history for upsetting Rangers in Europe, hasn't he?
Aye, but I don't think he'll do it this time.
No.
I've just got a real good...
Side's not quite in the same level as that Zenit.
No, but I just think Rangers in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the way they play. And now they're bringing this European form into league form, I think. I mean, they go away there on Sunday. Now, we all know what it's like. It's a difficult place to go in terms of small stadium, pitch is no everybody's cup of tea. I thought it was a real professional job.
Minimum fuss, which is easier said than done.
Yeah, but until they scored, they were still in control of the game. I don't think Livingston ever threatened them. But once that first goal went in, it was a matter of... It could have been 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody goes on about... Great finish for Aribo. Morelos again, unbelievable. And I've been highly praising Stevie Davis and Ryan Jack. But see, the guy who stood out for me was Kamara.
Yeah.
I tell you, Jacko, every time I'm seeing him, he's getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
I really like him. 50 grand.
It's a steal.
A steal? Jesus, man. He's... like him, I do. He's grown on me every time I see him.
It was Neil McCann had originally said to me, wait till you see him play with better players.
Mm-hmm.
The levels that he's capable of going up to.
Well, you see where he's been before. He's been at Arsenal.
Yeah.
He came up at Dundee and hand up, I didn't see a lot of him at Dundee, but when you seen him, you thought, well, that boy's no bad. Rangers go and take a punt on him, and I think he's come in here and he's a player.
Mm-hmm.
Real good football player, can get about the pitch. I just like him, and he's grown on me.
Does look like the midfield three now, doesn't it? Davis, Jack, and
yeah, but
that seems to be Gerrard's favourite.
But then you've got Barker, you've got Kent, you've got Arfield, you've got Aribo, you've got Ojo. Arfield can play in the middle of the park. Aribo can play in the middle of the park. The two that I just mentioned can play in both wide areas. Then you've got Kent, Barker,
Jordan Jones.
Jordan, there's back. Another one, Jordan Jones. I think they look really strong across that middle. Really Stewart. Strong. Greg Stewart, there's another one. He came on Sunday against Livingston. I just think they're really strong in that area. And there's options. But the three, the new for me, who look really good together and strong. I know Dave will never played on Sunday, but Davis, Jack and Kamara.
That seems to be his preferred three. When he's going into a big game, but the, that'll be his three.
A real mixture of everything. Good energy.
Yeah.
Good. They're all comfy on the ball. Jack's scoring goals. I know Dave will scored against Porto. Kamara's not really chipped in with many, but he had a great save. There was a great save for a Livingston keeper from a shot from him. But I like the three. I really like him. And I like him. He's, as I says to you, grown on me week by week, Kim.
Well, it's funny because we were sitting in here a week ago and we were talking about the influence of Steve Davis and we were talking about the influence of Scott Brown. Scott Brown's performance for Celtic in Rome, again, it's standout performances. It's head and shoulders stuff that he's turning in. And on what was a really historic night for Celtic, I mean, you must have, even you must have admired.
I fancied them going over to get a draw and get something.
I thought a draw would probably be the best result that Celtic could hope for.
Yep, and again, it's look, you got to ride your luck, and they did ride their luck. But that's what you've got to do when you play in Europe. Sometimes you've got to take the good with the bad. At times you've got to be a bit lucky. They might miss a few chances. You need your goalkeeper to be on tune. And that's what happened with Celtic. And do you know what? It's good for us as a nation, Scottish
that's
football.
Brilliant. This is brilliant. This is what it's all about now, that the fact that we can actually look everybody else in the eye across Europe and say, look at, you know, our biggest two clubs are actually punching above their weight. And it's been a long time, long time coming.
Both of them are in a good place. And this is what I keep going back to. I hope both of them keep this form up. And I'm sure they will. Obviously, I'll go more by the side. I look more at Rangers. I just like the way that Rangers are operating now. I like it.
Just concentrate on the Celtic game for a minute, Baz, because I got to say, again, very much like the start of the Rangers-Porto match, I thought Lazio looked really up for it in the first opening 10 minutes of that match. I thought this was looking like a really long, hard night for Celtic. You have to hand it to Neil Lennon and to these players for the way they turned that match around. Until the point in the second half, they looked like the side that were, you know, even though I'd said I thought a draw would be the best result, as the second half was going on, you're thinking Celtic could nick this year.
Well,
they were so impressive.
I caught a bit of it, and I'll be honest with you, after the first 10 minutes, I'm thinking, this could be a
difficult
a
night.
Right going over here.
Yeah.
But listen, that's where you've got to give them credit. As I say, I'll keep going back to it. Winning breeds confidence in the way they're playing, you know what I mean? They're looking, as I say, you've got to ride your luck a bit. They've done that, but it shows again good character coming back.
Well, it's interesting.
And again, they got put under a bit of pressure in the second half, and that's where you've got to call upon your big players. Foster made a few right good saves, and then when that happens, once two or three scenarios like that happen in a game, you're thinking, here, by the way, this, we might be able to nick one, and that's what happened with a mistake. But once they make a mistake, you've got to make sure you
capitalise on.
You've got to, and that's what they've done.
Tell me this, because I'm interested from the inside of a dressing room perspective, right? Because we're watching this, and the two of these teams right now are trading blows. Whether it's in the League Cup, they're both going to get to the final. In the league, they're both winning the matches. You know, they both won 2-0 at the weekend. There's one goal between them. They're in Europe. They're you know, out trying to outpoint or out muscle each other in European competition. Celtic are now the first ones to go through. As a player in this situation, are you actually? Do you get that? Do you look across what they're doing? We want to do better than that. Does that even in the European context?
Of course, I'm not saying it's the sole reason that will drive you on to try and get 3 points or for Rangers' scenario to get through the group stage. But you look across the road and think, right, they're through, we need to make sure we get through. And it's the same as you, it's great, tit for tat, both of them playing on Sunday. Celtic got the easier game, but still difficult, come off the back of a European game on a Thursday.
Motherwell have been doing terrific.
And Motherwell
well
are a good team. Robinson's got them playing well, but
plastic pitch at Livingston's always going to be the harder thing, isn't it?
The big thing for me was, right, I'm looking forward to this, see what turns up. And I sensed it straight away. No, Rangers are going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's credit, because here, listen, you put a hell of a lot of effort in. Whatever game you play in, you put a lot of effort. But I'm talking about the surroundings of the European nights at Ibrox, 50,000 fans, big game.
Does it exhaust you more mentally than physically?
It's more mentally.
Concentration needs to be it.
So they need to then bring themselves down really quickly, because what a result it was. And then it's Friday, you're still in a bit of high, but you need to forget that needs to go straight out the window. And bang, we're going to Livingston, going to an artificial surface here, a team that are physical, that are, I don't think they get enough credit at times. I think they're alright.
What did you make of the stuff in the build up to that game between Gerrard and Holt?
I don't mind it. You seen after it, like Holt is saying, I'll give him a cuddle when he comes in, I'll give him a beer. That's part and parcel of that, we all love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it. I really don't mind that, two managers having a wee pop at each other. But
Gerrard is right when he says it's a real physical encounter, Livingston away, isn't it? You know you're going to have to.
But that's how they've became successful, Livingston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see
that
as a
that's
problem.
That's what they've had to do. Yeah.
Aye. So if that's a formula that makes Livingston successful and stay in the Premier League, I'm all right with that.
Is it from a Rangers perspective, learning these things that Gerrard has maybe learned over the first year? This is what Livingston away is all about. He had no idea what it was all about.
Well, they went
previously
last year,
and they might have found it a little bit. Yep. You know, they might have been a little bit softer. They might have found it.
It's the same scenario as a few weeks ago that I says against Motherwell. They won 2-1. The Hollander scored 10 minutes to go. I think that if that's the Rangers team that the manager had last year, I think that would have ended up in a draw. I wouldn't be as confident on Sunday. That I sat down and before I whistle went, I think Rangers are going to win here.
Mm-hmm.
I just
that's the mindset.
That's the feeling that I'm getting, and you can see it in the players.
Tell me this: in terms of what Neil Lennon is managing to achieve, particularly, you know, because Brendan Rodgers was wiping the boards anyway, domestic football, but Brendan Rodgers was finding it really difficult to find the formula and get it right in European football away from home. It took some pretty embarrassing heavy beatings. Neil Lennon, a lot of us said at the time, is a lot more pragmatic. Has he got the edge? I mean, you said, we sat here last week and you said that Neil Lennon and Celtic are probably more dangerous than Brendan Rodgers, but you know, then you go and you get that result in Rome. These results were eluding Brendan Rodgers.
I know,
couldn't get them.
But they were playing against
Champions League sides.
Aye.
Mm.
They're still good sides. Lazio and Porto, I look at them.
But they're not PSGs and Barcelona's.
If you're looking at grades, they're grade one teams.
Yeah.
So, but listen, he's I don't think he gets enough credit, Lenny, at times.
No. I think he's starting to now. Mm-hmm. I think there was a core of Celtic supporters that
aye
were finding it difficult even to tolerate the idea of him coming back to replace Brendan Rodgers.
No, he took a lot of flack.
I think he's won them over now.
Yeah, I think he took a lot of flack. I remember listening to things, reading things, people saying, oh, can't believe I've got Neil Lennon back. He should have went for something. No, he's shut a lot of people up, hasn't he?
Yeah.
For what he's... Because I think he'd done the right thing. He didn't want to change a lot, did he, when he came in? And he was openly admitted that and pressers and whatever, that he's not coming in here to change anything until he gets to the summer and gets his own players in, then he'll make the changes. And it's clear to see the changes he's made. As I says, I think they look a more dangerous team going forward.
Mm-hmm.
As more Brendan's teams were more build-up play and patience and...
I want to explore that, right? Because I watched Leicester against Arsenal.
Oh, God almighty, what
a
team
is going on? I tell
you what's going on. He's took over a right good squad of players, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And what a good team they are to watch.
It's frightening. It is frightening. I mean, I think that I think a lot of people underestimated, deliberately so, his achievements in Scottish football. Down south, just that Scottish football, isn't it?
Mm.
And that's why the best job he could get was a Leicester.
Mm.
But my God, what are we, 3 months, 4 months into his first full season, and he's got them sitting second.
Mm,
and this is a lightning bolt that wasn't supposed to be able to strike twice.
I've watched them now 3 or 4 times.
And they're a completely transformed side for the one that won the title.
But they've got really, really fucking, really top players.
But I'm wondering, from a managerial point of view, how difficult is that? Because they were a team that chased after the ball when they won the title.
Oh, I know.
Right, long ball for Schmeichel. Mahrez might play it through. Vardy'd race onto it. Turn the defence, bang. They're a possession-based team now. He has completely transformed the way they play, and they look as comfortable as anybody in the English Premier League.
But they're frightening going forward.
Huh?
They're not patient.
He's getting a tune out of Vardy again, isn't he?
Oh, he looks a...
best striker in the league.
Aye. He's frightening. I like the boy in the middle of the park, Tielemans, mm-hmm. the Belgian boy. Really like him. And what'd you call him? It was up here playing for Aberdeen.
Madison.
Madison.
Siri
me.
Yeah.
he looks a player. Did you see the interview after it? No. He just looks a boy who's
full of confidence.
He just loves playing football. I love seeing that.
Yeah.
They came out, Jamie Redknapp and Tony Adams were doing an interview with him at the side of the pitch, and he was just smiling, just looks a guy who loves football.
Yeah.
But great team to watch, and he's done it again. What a job Rodgers has done down there.
He's proven to people down there that it was no accident what he achieved up here. They've been forced to recognise his talent.
You forget, he did do a real good job at Liverpool as well. He just missed out on one in the league, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But look, money helps as well down there, doesn't it?
It does, but I think that the perception was, and the reason, let's get it right, the reason that Brendan Rodgers came to Scottish football in the first place was he's got a big ego, and he saw himself as a top 4 or 5 club manager in England. So it suited him to come to Celtic because he could paint the picture of, this isn't necessarily a step in the wrong direction. It's a massive Champions League club. It's my boyhood heroes. Mm-hmm. It's a dream job for me, as opposed to taking a West Brom or a West Ham or a, mm-hmm. you know, and going down the ladder. And so to get to Leicester, he's had to go via Celtic. I'm telling you now, Barry, I'll be amazed if by the start of next season he's still the Leicester manager. I think he is on the verge
like
now.
A Tottenham Arsenal type thing.
Tottenham, Arsenal. I wouldn't even rule out a Man United,
but you look at Leicester, they've got better for me, better team
than these ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Spurs. Yep. Spurs have got a great squad of players.
They have, but they're not.
I think it'd be tailor made for Spurs, actually. But
what a club! I mean, stadium. Yes, it'll be a hard one because is Leicester going to get any bigger in terms of stadium wise? Look, they're 2 stadiums, Emirates and Tottenham's new stadium just looks ridiculous. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Have you seen the paints that get pulled up and all that?
Brilliant. I'll need to get one of them for the house. They're brilliant, isn't it?
Oh, amazing.
But look, if he's going to be successful at Leicester, there comes a point where if the bigger clubs are struggling, they're obviously going to look at him, aren't they?
I think he's number one contender. The point I made, I'd written a piece, an interview with Brendan in today's newspaper, an exclusive interview with him, where he was basically saying, look, he says, now hopefully people will understand why I went when I went. Because I knew I had an opportunity to do something at Leicester, but I couldn't go in the summer and then be able to hit the ground running and implement all my ideas in time for the start of the season.
What
his argument is, it gave him 10, 11 games to assess his squad, assess the changes that he wanted to make to the style of play and the personnel, and get it implemented and ready to go for the start of this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to argue with the logic of that now, even though Celtic fans still feel they were really betrayed.
No, they don't like him, do they?
No.
For what he done. But the way that you've just spoke there, you see perfect sense in why you done it.
And listen,
and you look at them now, sitting second top. they've got every chance. I don't think they'll win the league. There's no chance they'll win the league, but they've got a real good chance of finishing that top four.
Yeah, going back into Champions.
Because if you look at it, are they better than Liverpool, Man City? No, they're not. They're better than...
They're 8 points better than Man City just now.
Yeah,
that's actually quite a gap.
I know. No, Man City will come good. I think they've got a real chance of finishing that top four. There's no doubt in my mind. With the squad he's got,
some people would say it's arguably, if he could manage that and take them into the Champions League, it's arguably
better than winning the...
I don't know if you'd say it's better.
It's not, of course it's no better.
Of course it's no better, but it's arguably equally impressive, given the standard of
it'll be some achievement if he,
and Man City.
There's no doubt in my mind the size of Leicester as a club compared to the clubs that he's up against. If he gets them in that top four, it is some achievement, but it's no a better achievement than winning the league.
Doesn't eclipse it.
No.
But the fact
but it'll
is,
be up there.
The fact is that everybody looked at that Leicester thing and said, well, that's a freak, an absolute one in a million freak. That could never happen again, will never happen again. It's one of the biggest fairy tales in the history of football in Britain or anywhere across the world. And yet here he is knocking on the door. That's impressive.
Well, I think you're bang on. It is the biggest thing that's ever happened. When who expected Leicester to ever win the league?
No, couldn't be done.
Yep. But no, I look at Leicester and I look at their players. They've got no fear about them either. Looks as if they're playing with a freedom, similar to Rangers and Celtic up here. It looks to me that they're playing with a freedom. But look, he's got what an opportunity for him to. I think they will finish in the top four.
Well, that'd be incredible. Now, my experience when I spoke to a number of players at Celtic, including the likes of Scott Brown, absolutely loved playing for the guy, loved his training, loved being in and around the squad. You know, he just manages to connect with his players. Now, I think that's hugely important, as I'm sure you'll agree.
Man management you're talking about?
I'm talking, yeah, being able to connect and being able to forge that bond. Man management, get players to play for you.
Yep.
The tactical side of it is obviously really important. The reason I'm asking this is we're about to move the conversation on to Scotland. And there is no doubt in my mind that we have a tactically really astute manager in charge of the national side.
I'm 100% agreement on that.
I am getting really worried about the number of call-offs, the number of guys that are making themselves unavailable. I tell you this, right, Barry,
see if they're... Can I butt in there now?
You can.
McTominay.
Yes, injured.
Certain injury, he's come off. Andy Robertson, I watched.
No injury. Running like a gazelle.
Yeah,
the weekend.
Why is he called off then?
Oh, I'm wondering if I'm looking at it, if I'm Jurgen Klopp, but I'm saying, what, so Kieran Tierney doesn't have to go and play? You're giving him a free pass? Well, I think you'll find Andy Robertson's
Why? See, I've read a few things and I've heard a few things. Why is Kieran Tierney not playing with Arsenal?
He is playing with Arsenal. He was playing with him in the Europa League.
No, he never played
game
against Leicester.
They rested him at the weekend, and a lot of people at Arsenal were saying that's a mistake.
Because I've seen him in Arsenal.
He improves
jersey.
Arsenal.
I've seen people talk about him, and they're buzzing with
him. I think they're almost trying to justify their decision, because they said to Scotland, no, this guy needs a wee bit of treatment, he needs more rehab,
so he can't
join Scotland.
Well, one thing I will say, I've had
but
the
how
same
can you play him at the weekend then?
I've had the same problem that Kieran Tierney's had.
The hip?
The pelvic, pelvic injury. And it is one that you've got to be really careful, because if it flares up, it causes major problems. I had it for about 5 months, and they never got to the bottom of it until 4 months, where I needed a course of injections into my pelvic bone. So he has got an issue there, and whether they're just trying to manage that issue, I don't know. But for me, when I've seen him for Arsenal, and you read things and you hear the fans, I mean, the fans were in uproar with him not playing.
Yeah, because there's no doubt that he's a serious upgrade for them at left back. Well, no doubt.
Miles better than what's there.
Yeah. So here's my worry about Stephen Clark. There's too many red flags now, Barry. I've seen it. And you've seen it, more importantly, you've been in it in the middle of these Scotland squads when guys are calling off left, right and centre. I think it's really worrying. I look back to Robert Snodgrass. Now, I think you know Snodgrass pretty well.
I don't know him pretty well, but I know him.
Fiercely patriotic guy, loves playing for Scotland,
yep.
Or loved playing for Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
For him to walk away from this Scotland squad when at this end of his career, yeah. When he's two playoff matches away now from potentially qualifying for a finals, that's I've got an alarm bell sounding there. Robert Snodgrass is also one of the biggest, or was one of the biggest personalities inside the dressing room.
I was just about to say that. I would reckon, I don't know him personally, just bumped into him a couple of times. I would reckon that he was a big, big character.
Huge. Him and Charlie McGrew were probably the,
because you kind of see him, like, he's always up to, he's always having a laugh and a joke. And but one thing I will say about Snodgrass, I was surprised that he called it a day. Because he always turned up, and I'll be honest with you, every time he played,
did well
with Scotland,
yeah.
I thought he was one of our better performers. I did.
He was a really talented.
So I was surprised at the Snodgrass thing, whether it's he's wanting a bit more time down there.
You don't make that decision in between Russia away.
Well, it's the only guy. The only guy that will know that. Everybody can make assumptions. Is Snodgrass why the reason
but
why
what I'm telling you is I'm hearing some mood music around this and it doesn't sound good to me. I'm looking at it right, and I remember having a conversation with the SFA chief executive while he was looking for the right man to take Scotland on,
mm-hmm.
and he agreed that one of the most important, if not the single most important,
I know what you're going to say here,
that you're going to need as a manager who can increase the quality of the pool from which Alex McLeish was picking at the end of his time in charge. Alex McLeish, I thought, was blighted with a whole load of problems, players that didn't want to commit, players that didn't want to be anywhere near the Scotland squad at that time because of the problems which surrounded it. And the most important single thing the new man had to be able to do was bring back the quality, increase the quality, give yourself more quality to pick from, and get that team bedded in time for the two playoff matches. There's an argument, it's not even an argument. The pool of Scotland talent is now shallower under Steve Clarke than it was at the last days of McLeish. He's failed spectacularly to do what his first remit was, which is to bring
injuries.
These guys back. Do they? Matt Ritchie chucked it.
I don't think Matt Ritchie would have played.
Probably not.
Yep. Andy Robertson, he must be injured. He's captain of his country. Come on.
But Barry, see all the guys, your Stephen Fletchers, your guys that were kind of real stalwarts under Strachan,
that felt as if
they'd been really badly mistreated.
I'm honest with you, I don't know what you're trying to say here, that these guys don't want to turn up.
That's the feeling I'm getting. Now, you've been in Scotland squads.
No, because I'm being honest here. Andy Robertson,
you've been involved in Scotland squads where you know there's guys that are not enjoying being here. This is not fun, and they don't turn up because of that. Because if it's not fun, then what else is it if you're a Scotland player? If you're going there, you're getting bad results, you're working for a manager that you're not particularly taken by, there's a bad environment around the squad, it's not a fun place to be.
I would be absolute shocked if they didn't enjoy under Steve Clarke, for the amount of people that I've heard that have played for him.
Are you talking about his training?
Training.
What about the environment around it?
I don't know what the environment he creates round about it. It's really See, when you go away for 10 days, it's probably the most boringest 10 days because you're cooped up in the hotel. All you do is train, eat, sleep. Train, eat, sleep. Mm-hmm. And you're away from family. So it's difficult to get things, whether I've got a pool room, table tennis, what's this, PlayStation stuff. That's all they've got.
Mm-hmm.
So what more can you create?
You're the guy that's been there, right?
Uh-huh.
I've only seen it from the outside. I have seen from the outside Scotland squads where I'm looking at the players thinking these boys love being part of
I've been in Scotland squads.
They can't wait to turn up. They enjoy being it's like a club environment, a club atmosphere around it. I've also seen Scotland squads from the outside.
I can only go with my experiences. See, when I've been in Scotland squads when I've been winning games, whether that's under Walter Smith or Alec McLeish, when probably the most successful I was in terms of winning games and getting to playoffs, I was still bored turning up because I knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed training, but it's just the bit outside the training at night. I still wasn't buzzing. I was buzzing going to play with my country. I was buzzing going to, right, can't wait for this game at Hampden or ever going to play Italy or wherever. But it's the in-between bit, it's a difficult bit for any international manager. Now, if people are coming up and saying, oh, it's been born for the last 100 years.
Yeah. Aye, but I am absolutely convinced on this. And again, you tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong. I've got my theory on this. My theory is, to be a successful international manager, see if you're Spanish or Italian or Dutch, actually doesn't matter too much your man management or how fun the environment is, because there's a fair chance that you're going into a tournament thinking you'll win it, and every player wants to be involved in that. Every player's desperate to be involved in going and winning a title.
This is the two games you would
for
want
Scotland.
This is the two games you would want to turn up, because Scotland should be beating Cyprus and Kazakhstan.
Yeah, these are the last two games we've got before he picks his 11 for these playoff matches.
Yep.
So why are these guys busting a gut to be there?
I'm saying they must be injured because they would want to turn up, because I think it's 6 points. It's a given.
Alan McGregor.
Yes.
We're crying out for a goalkeeper. Alan McGregor chucked it.
But he gave you
reasons. He's not injured.
He gave you reasons.
Scott Brown.
Give you reasons.
James McArthur.
But these guys, see Alan McGregor first. I'll go on Alan McGregor. Why did they quit the Scottish national team? Problems with his back. Gives him time to recover.
Would you not be?
Scott Brown. Why did Scott Brown?
Because he felt he'd done his bit. And he did wait until the replacement for Gordon Strachan was secured. And at that point, he decided it wasn't.
Well, I didn't know that. I just thought Scott Brown quit to concentrate on the final year or two his football career. I think he's going maybe another year or two now, the way he's playing.
Yeah.
Would they have been able to do that where he was having to turn up and
not get a 2 week break?
I think Scott Brown can
he's
go
benefiting from it.
Yep, I think. And Alan McGregor looks to me if he's going to be signing another contract. Now, I get where you're coming from. Now, if players are not wanting to turn up because they don't want to play for Scotland, that's another thing. But
clearly, that's the case.
These guys are injured.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that they're all injured.
Well, let's get a medical.
And I'm not buying. Listen, why is Steve?
Let's get somebody from the medical
Steve Clark
side.
Not saying to Arsenal. No,
it's a strange one. That
give us him. Let my medics take a look and we'll assess it. And by the way, my medics aren't daft. They'll have a look at him. And if Kieran Tierney's not fit to play, then we'll send him back.
I can only go again in my experience, Jacko. See, when we played at Scotland, whether it was me, whether it was anybody else in the squad, see if you had an injury, you had to turn up, and you got looked over by. Both doctors, old Doc Cullis, remember him?
Yes.
And John McLean, who's still the doctor at Scotland, and the two or three physios, it varied who the physios were there at the time. So you went and you get assessed, not just by one doctor, by two doctors, and not just by one physio, by two physios. They would all have a look, and then, right, man, you can go back to your club, or do you know what? You might have a chance. Are you willing to stay? Of course, I want to try and play. So I don't know the scenario that happens now. Have they got a report, or do they just get a phone call and say they're not going?
Arsenal have just said
I think that's out of order for Arsenal. Kieran Tierney for me is one of the best players, and I would imagine he'd be a big character in the dressing room. I don't know. I just look.
He's a winner, isn't he?
Aye, for the outside in, I'd imagine he's one of the boys in the dressing room. He looks to me on the part when obviously watching him for Celtic, he was always fist clenched and he got fired in about people.
Real influential character in the pitch.
So you would want that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the manager, I'd want, no, you get in here, even if you're not going to play, be about the place.
Mm-hmm.
But is that us going back to the club's control it now?
It seems to be.
I think you'd be the type of boy that would want to turn up. Would you know?
From everything that I know of Kieran Tierney, yes.
And everything that I've heard of Kieran Tierney, I think he would be up in a plane straight away to be involved. But Arsenal are obviously... I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of it. Have you heard anything?
No, I think that listen, I can only imagine how these things work if I'm Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a legacy problem with an injury and you spent a lot of money on the boy, then I'm sure, especially when he's at a new club and he's settling into the environment, if they wanted to put a bit of pressure on him to say no, then I'm sure they could do that. And clearly they have done it.
But Kieran Tierney strikes me as a person who would say, no, I want to go.
Hasn't happened, has it? And we are now picking from a squad which is lower in talent than the one that Alex
the guys that you've just mentioned there, Andy Robertson, the captain of your team, missing through injury. McTominay.
An unexplained injury. He played 90 minutes at the weekend, looked great to me.
I watched the game. What a ball he whipped in for Sam.
Unbelievable.
He was him and Trent Arnold.
They're fantastic.
Talk to me about the two.
Best two fullbacks anywhere just now.
It's a game of tit for tat with him.
I know.
Right, you cross one, right? I'm going to cross.
How many times did Alexander Arnold set off and go on a run? And actually, instead of going down the outside, straight through the middle, you think he's going to go run 80 yards? And
but they too. Andy Robertson.
So we could do with Andy Robertson. But we could do.
I thought he was brilliant on Sunday.
He was. But that's my point. But how can Scotland improve if the manager can't work with his most talented players?
Fair.
And right,
you're missing
now,
your captain.
For whatever reason, a whole crux of Scotland's most talented players.
McTominay.
I'm nowhere near it.
McTominay get took off.
Yes.
Right.
So McTominay's gone today. Andy Robertson's gone today. Ryan Fraser's gone today.
Ryan Fraser?
Mm-hmm. Who seems to have a history. Remember, this is the Ryan Fraser that I can't really play in a plastic pitch, Ryan Fraser. Right? Matt Ritchie has said, don't bother picking me. I'm glad about that, because I wouldn't want him anywhere near, because I think he'd real commitment issues with Scotland as well.
Aye, but I don't think Matt Ritchie would have... Look, he's playing at highest level, to be fair to Matt Ritchie, yeah. But I'm going in guys who are going to be in that team, and two guys that you mentioned are certain starters for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Andy Robertson, or three.
Well, Kieran Tierney would have been as well, yeah.
Yep. So he's missing big players, big characters, big game players,
and he's only got two games left
to get his
lineup ready.
He must be pulling his hair out. It must be. It must be. Look, it's got to be genuine injuries. It's got to be.
I look at Steve Clarke and I don't see a guy, and I know that he's got that sort of hangdog expression. He kind of plays on the fact that he's
going
quite
to
a miserable
this.
Guy. Doesn't look happy. Every time you see him in front of a camera, he's looking less and less satisfied with his lot.
But he was like that at Kilmarnock.
But at least he'd fight the fight at Kilmarnock, wouldn't he? He's fighting everybody.
He's
not fighting anybody.
For me, he looks to me, just when I see him doing interviews, I want to play for him.
Well, that's encouraging.
I can only go with what I think. I'm not saying it's right, but you go back to the injuries, they've got to be genuine injuries. Because they've been up. Did you say they've been up and they've been sent away?
No.
They've not been up.
I'm light on the detail.
Right, because I would like to think that they've been assessed with the medical staff, and the medical staff have the final say. If you come in and the medical staff say, right, yes, you've got a chance, you stay. Or, no, you've no chance, right, do you know what? I'm away back to my club.
So you're not in the slightest bit concerned? You don't think that this...
No, because I think they're genuine injuries, and I'm...
So you just think that every squad now, we're just getting more and more of these injuries, and it's just... freak bad luck every time?
No, I don't think it's freak bad luck, but I look at these players, and I'll be honest with you, they don't look to me if they're guys that are not going to want to play unless they've got an injury.
Hmm.
Now,
Were you ever in the Scotland dressing room with somebody you thought this guy just doesn't fancy this?
That's a good question. You've caught me on the hop here. No, because all the injuries, as I told you, if somebody had an injury, they had to turn up and they got assessed. Not just with one doctor, but two doctors. And not just with one physio, but two physios.
So the players never felt as if this guy's not really...
No, because if you were injured, you get sent away straight away, you get sent home. And the vast majority, there were quite a few injuries that came, Jacko, and stayed.
Even when they were unable to play, they wanted to be part of the setup.
Yep.
This is what I'm getting at. That's what we should be having. Kieran Tierney should be able to say to Arsenal, do you know what, guys?
I'm with you on that.
Do you know what? You're right. I'm not fit to play and I don't want to do myself any damage, but this is my country. I want to be part of the setup. I want to go up the road and I want to be there.
But even if they
want to be around the place.
But there's a way around about everything. Even if they say, right, do you know what? Could I stay for to Wednesday? Can I go up and spend Thursday, Friday?
Go and see the boys.
I'll do a bit of training. You give me my programme. I'll go and do it. Because he looks to me as a boy that would do anything you asked him to do. In the same way, I think did he not do that not long ago, Kieran Tierney? He travelled to somewhere. Kazakhstan. It was Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
That shows me a boy that's committed.
Yeah. That's just the point where you can trace it back to everything starts to go really badly wrong around this squad. I think there's been some mistakes made in the way that things have been handled, and I think we've got a problem now where there are a bunch of players there that are saying, if I'm going to get treated like this, I'm not sure that I'm desperate to be part of it. That is my concern. And I don't think that Steve Clarke's done enough to turn it around in this short space of time that he's been there. And I was supporting the Steve Clarke appointment. I still support him. I'm still desperate to see him do well. I still think tactically he's absolutely the right guy for this job.
Oh, 100%
for
me.
The red flags with these players. Now, that's either a problem with the manager or it's a problem with the players. I'm not buying into we're getting 12 injuries at a time. Because if you look back through Scotland's history, Barry, you know yourself, Walter Smith, when he was flying, Gordon Strachan, they didn't get calls. We only seem to get 12 call-offs at a time when the results are terrible, when the spirit's terrible. Because when we're getting results, everybody's there, everybody's putting their hand up to play. And it's always been like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest to you that this sign that we've got so many guys that don't want to be there is a little bit deeper. It goes a little bit
deeper. Well, the proof will be in the pudding when they interview Stevie Clarke about it. But you're asking my opinion about their players. I don't know these players personally. I just hear, like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're asking me, I don't think they would feign an injury. Or I think they would want to be.
It's one thing feigning an injury. It's another thing being prepared to go and play through an injury.
Some injuries you can't. Mm. But be prepared to turn up. And
yeah. Right, okay, look. We could talk about this for forever. Let's talk briefly now, Hibs and Hearts.
Aye.
And the situation that they've got themselves into. We touched on this previously, and now they've ended up both managerless,
winning both games in a weekend.
I mean, honestly, and the boy Doidge gets a hat. I mean, you couldn't make that up.
I know.
Heckenbottom must be pulling his hair out of that.
Well, look, it's one of the ones where he got a wee bit of luck with the first goal and he nips it in. But see, after that, it just shows you. See, when you get that first goal, you go and get a hat trick. And they go and they absolutely batter St Johnstone, didn't they? It's weird how that happens a lot. It happens quite a lot. Look at Hearts 5-2 against St Mirren. It's strange. Do you know what I was thinking about it? See, it tends to happen quite a lot that a manager goes on the rebound, they always win.
Mm-hmm.
They always win. I'm not saying always, the vast majority of times they win.
Yeah, I mean, there's two, they had two wins between them for about.
Why? They were struggling. They couldn't buy a win.
Yeah. So I'm looking at, and I mentioned in an article earlier this week about Leanne Dempster now and Anne Budge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge decisions that these two women have to make for their own clubs and for their own reputations. They cannot afford to get this one wrong.
Yep.
On either.
I'm with you, and do you know what? I like the two of them.
Yeah, me too.
I like the two of them. I've got to be honest with you, I enjoy listening to them. But I'm with you, they need to get that. This needs to be spot on.
I think that the Ann Budge thing, Baz, she's allowed herself to get stars in her eyes with Craig Levein.
Mm-hmm.
That's really damaging. She's admitted that she doesn't know that much about football, so had to lean heavily on a guy like Levein for good advice.
But that's honesty.
Yes, but she's had stars in her eyes with a guy, right? And she's failed to see what was becoming pretty obvious to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Leanne Dempster is the guy that chased Neil Lennon out the door at Hibs. Neil Lennon then goes to Lazio and gets that victory in the week that she's sacking Heckenbottom. These are pretty serious flaws.
I'm sure the both of them will get it right, but they need to get it right. And there's a lot of talk about who do they go to and who do they bring in. I think both of them have got to bring in somebody who knows the game up here.
It's a big time to take a gamble or a punt.
I don't think they can take a gamble. I think they know that. But listen, as I says to you, Ann Budge and Leanne Dempster, I really like them. I like the way they go about their business, straight, no bullshit. But I think they know that they need to get this one spot on, and it needs to be somebody who has a connection, no necessarily to the club, but to Scottish football, and knows it inside out, because it's got to be, because two of them are big clubs.
These are crisis times, and they have to understand the wrong appointment now, one or both of these clubs could be playing in the second tier next season.
I don't think that will happen, but they might struggle this season. It has happened before, I get you, but I think both of them have got too strong a squad to let it happen. I think they're better than some of the teams that are in the division now, but they've got to be up third, fourth place.
Yeah, competing for European.
They're never going to compete with Rangers and Celtic, I don't think, but they've got to be competing, both of the clubs. Both of them, for me, are big clubs, big support, big stadiums, nice training grounds. What a job it is for somebody to get, but I think it's got to be somebody who knows the game up here.
Right, well, we'll keep our eyes on that. And then in terms of guys moving, let's just have a quick mention for Lewis, the young Ferguson, who's now been linked. You can take it with a pinch of salt if you want. You'll perhaps be in a better position to tell the listeners, Barry. Lewis Ferguson linked with Rangers in one of the newspapers today.
Yep, I've seen
it. Do you know anything about it? Do you think it will happen?
I'm not surprised that he's getting attention.
Neither am I.
I think Aberdeen missed him big time when he was out suspended. But it's funny that Rangers have been mentioned where he get let go for being deemed no good enough.
That would have been a hammer blow for him. What age was he been then?
15. It would have been a hammer blow, but see, the thing that I like about that is it shows you what type of character he is. He could easily have spat the dummy out and just gave up.
It makes it even more difficult for him.
But he's went
when he's come from the pedigree that he's come from with his dad, with yourself.
But he's went to Hamilton, and Hamilton have got to take a lot of credit for it as well, because they helped him
get over that.
Aye, get over it. They brought him on, and he's flourishing. He took a move to Aberdeen. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure if it was the right thing for him to do, because he just broke into the Hamilton team at the Christmas time. He only played a handful of games, and I'm thinking, stay another season and get 30-40 games under your belt. But he went and took a move, and I'm thinking, oh, you've got to be Aberdeen, he might not play, but he's a mainstay in that team.
Yeah.
He's first pick.
Yeah.
Dale's obviously come out a number of times and says, this boy's, I miss him. The team miss him, misses him. I'm not surprised that teams are watching him, whether it's up here or down south, but it's good to see that young kids, this is what
would
worries
he want,
me.
Barry, you know him, would he want to go to Rangers with that, or did he feel,
I don't want to get him into trouble here,
did he feel let down by it?
Listen, he's got the bit between his teeth, and this is the thing, I feel sorry for a lot of young kids when they get rejected on the scrap heap.
So there would be a sense of motivation there.
100%.
He didn't want me, I've proved that.
100% he's got a bit of that in him, Ferguson thing.
Angry?
No, just right. I'll need to go and show.
It's good quality.
It's a good quality. And listen, you're going to get rejection, and like, you're going to get rejection certainly in football. I've had it myself. He's had it. My brother's had it. My son's had it. It's how you react to it. And he's reacted in the best way possible. And that's going to Hamilton, rolling his sleeves up, working his backside off, getting a move to a bigger club, Aberdeen. Know that his uncle was too chuffed for him going up there. And he's kicked on again. And do you know what? He deserves all the credit he's getting, but he just needs to keep it going. He needs to keep it going for no more 10 games, 15 games, 20 games. He needs to keep it going for 50, 60, 70, 80, but I think he's
done it over the course of a couple of seasons now, so he's getting it.
I think he's progressing right, and when the move comes, I'm sure he'll get the right move.
Right, brilliant, Baz. Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming in again. This has been the Fergie Time podcast. Join us next week, because I am really interested to know if you can get past Sunday brunch without baiting sausages.
And I'm interested to hear the Scotland thing.
What Scotland thing?
What's happening?
With
the players?
We'll find out, and we'll have all the answers here next week on everybody's favourite podcast.
Cheers.